Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. It was good and cold on Thanksgiving Day, which was good. It just made it to Thanksgiving feel more necessary somehow. It sort of pulled people in together. We sat in tight around the Thanksgiving table, and it just made it seem more reasonable that you should wallop down that enormous meal. Thanksgiving has changed forever. Those great empresses and the great dowager queens of Thanksgiving are all gone now, who used to rule the kitchen with an absolute autocratic hand and would not allow younger women to so much as boil water or butter bread because they would be incapable. And those women are all gone now and dead and buried. And this whole new generation of women who were not allowed to so much as whip potatoes for fear that something would explode without direct supervision, they are now in charge of everything. And the result is that in many homes, Thanksgiving dinner is now ordered online, and it's delivered by UPS, and you just warm it up, and you put it on the table without apology whatsoever. And this is especially true in families where intermarriage has brought in eating disorders from the outside, and, you know, some can eat no lean and some can eat no fat, and you can't eat carbs, you can't eat glutens, and you're vegan, you're pescatarian, vegetarian, whatever the deal is. And with online delivery, you just check off the boxes and it comes to you all set. And the result of it is that this has destroyed the social order in the home around Thanksgiving. The women were in charge. Nobody was in any doubt about this. They were the providers of the feast. They were in the kitchen. Men were not allowed in the kitchen any more than dogs were, or cattle or other livestock. Men sat off in an adjoining room and they watched football or something on TV. And now everybody is thrown in together and we have to establish a pecking order, a hierarchy, and primacy, and we do it in brutal, brutal ways to by one-upping people. And somebody mentions in the course of dinner that they just finished reading Moby Dick and it wasn't that hard. I mean, this is to put everybody else down around the table. They've just gotten back from South America and they hiked to Machu Picchu, you know, whatever. You have a gallbladder operation and it's gone and you're just fine. This is how you establish your superiority now that these lines have been erased, you know, or you have the most peculiar food allergy of anybody at the table. And you can only eat fava beans that have been peeled by you yourself, and you sit there in the corner wearing a diving mask, and you're taking liquids through an IV. I mean, this is what has happened to Thanksgiving. The day that I knew has gone to the dogs. It's just completely gone. Our aunts were great artists, and they did not pass on their art. I spent 2 hours Wednesday night trying to make a grape salad. Grape salad is sort of the iconic dish of Minnesota. My mother made this fabulous grape salad, and everybody in Minnesota eats grape salad for Thanksgiving. And mine came out. I've tasted silage from a silo that was better than this grape salad. And now we have these hyphenated, bifurcated Thanksgivings where you go to her family on Thursday and you go to his family on Saturday or Friday or whenever it is, and which we never used to do. Back in the day, you made this painful, permanent decision. And even if it resulted in an agony of recrimination and perhaps suicide attempts, I don't know, alcoholism, eventual divorce, nonetheless, you stuck with this decision that you made. And now you've got families driving all over, just biting their lips until they practically fall off, and children growing up angry and resentful who will need to see therapists about this. And it's just so incredibly stressful. Not that there was not cruelty back in the day. There was. My sister, recently told me that every year when she and I shared a wishbone and made a wish, that she always knew which leg of the wishbone to pull in order to get the joint and thereby get the wish. She always knew, and she, it was rigged against me. I never won. I grew up with this sense of defeat, of permanent defeat, that life was closed off to me, and now here I am, an old man, and it's just too late for me. And I don't know, it all comes back to me around Thanksgiving. For that and for many reasons, I just am really thankful that Thanksgiving is over. I know that other people share that feeling, even though you don't dare say so, but it's a very difficult day. You sit there trying to make conversation, and you're thinking, if only I were alone in a hotel room with a book. Your guests, they come, they're always in a big, wonderful mood because they didn't have to cook this, and and they come on time, and you and your spouse, you're still hissing at each other, and you're throwing breadcrumbs into a bowl and trying to mix it with lard or whatever, and you're still in your pajamas, and the guests wanted to bring things, and so they do, and they bring these interesting dishes, always something odd. You know, they bring a stuffing with dried apricots and prunes in it, and as a result of this, people are disappearing from the table all afternoon. There's a sound of flushing down the hall. Somebody brings a pumpkin pie that's layered with cream cheese and with caramelized marshmallow. It's just not a good idea, but you eat some and you're aware of it for the next 2 days. Your sister-in-law, whose house you were at last year for the Cajun turkey, the deep-fried Cajun turkey, which was very memorable, she comes this year with cranberries in a clam sauce. Whoa! After a dinner like that, it's not easy to go around the table and each person say what you're thankful for. It just doesn't come naturally. It's a tradition in many homes. I try to avoid it whenever possible. Some homes you're required to hold hands while you go around and everybody says what they're thankful for. I would rather walk barefoot on gravel than do this. It's a form of terrorism is what it is. And people try to think of something to say. Most people say family and friends, you know, or family and loved ones, as if that were two separate things. And I want to say flush toilets. This is, some people burst into tears, which is kind of show-offy, I think. But anyway. I just miss the old Thanksgiving. Men had no responsibility other than to just sit quietly and not spill on themselves on the sofa. And your aunts, your Aunt Eleanor, your Aunt Josephine, your Aunt Myrna, your Marjorie, Beatrice, Mary, they were all in there, and the smells were just gorgeous. Men were not allowed to... What are you doing in here? What are you doing in the refrigerator? I've got that all organized. You want a beer? Just tell me. I'll bring you a beer. Go on. Get out of here. We'll have dinner ready. And then we sat down for just a little quick blessing, you know, Lord, we thank thee for this food, for every blessing, every good, for earthly sustenance and love bestowed on us from heaven above. Be present at our table, Lord, be here and everywhere, adore thy children, bless and grant that we may feast in paradise with thee. Amen. And we sat down and we ate the food. I mean, it was a ritual. It was a ritual, like the Lord's Prayer. I mean, you don't toss in new stuff into the Lord's Prayer, do you? You don't throw in some prophecy or anything? We know. And now those aunts and their beautiful Thanksgiving, they're all gone. My mother lost interest in cooking around the age of 93. And for her last few Thanksgivings, her children tried to put together the dinner for her. We had never been taught how to do it. And somehow McTurkey and frozen dressing and cranberry from a can just did not appeal to her personally. And I feel that dementia was just her way of avoiding us. She wanted to go off in her own world. Anyway, it's all over. It's all over Thanksgiving, thank goodness. It's all dark at night now, and the lake is all frozen, and there's fresh snow. There's a scent of pine in the air, and the windows are steamed up, and it's just very peaceful and beautiful. The volunteer firemen have flooded the rink, and now there is skating, and life goes on, and the great nebulae turn in the sky, and the stars spiral centuries and centuries away out there in this great vasture and grandeur. And here we sit, we small-minded people. We are who we are. Sumus quod sumus. That's our byword in Lake Wobegon. And I just don't know what to do about the fact that she knew all those years which end of the wishbone to grasp. I just don't know what to do with this, being left with the short end of the stick. All those years, what effect it has had on me. I just want to thank you for listening to me and letting me talk about this. And if you should ever have your own radio show where people pay money to come and hear you complain about your life, right? I will be there. That's the news from Lake Wobegon. All the women are strong, all the men are good looking, all the children are above average.